Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew. I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So apparently, Brock Lesnar has an awesome deal with the WWE. What's going on with this, Aaron?
So we had reported before that he has 35 dates that he's working per year. One of the things that we saw on this past week's episode of Raw is that he wasn't even there. He just had, you know, his little promo that he cut. And so that doesn't count as one of his dates. But he's supposed to be there the following week and, of course, at the pay-per-view. And, you know, we'll see. Obviously, that's going to chip away quite a bit if they're only going to have him for a year. But he's working a very light schedule. And apparently his shorts that he's going to be wearing, it's going to be very MMA inspired, and he's going to have sponsors on there. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but his T-shirt he's been wearing has had the Jimmy John's logo on the back, which I, you know, just kind of wondered what that was all about. Turns out that he's going to have sponsors on his shorts as well.
That's actually something completely different than what the WWE is so used to, because as everyone knows, a lot of times if there's like a Nike logo or a Adidas logo, they actually will black it out or remove it from stuff. So this is kind of a big deal. I mean, I'm wondering if the WWE may start doing this for certain wrestlers, putting sponsorships like on John Cena, like on his shoulder. It may have a swoosh now.
And we'll talk about that, I think, in a little bit. So, Andy, WrestleMania 28 had 1.3 million buys, which is very different than the numbers that we had saw. Originally, we saw 1.8, and I believe we saw like a 0.9 for the buys. But 1.3 still set records. What do you think about this?
This is a big deal. I mean, you're talking 1.3 million buys. I mean, that's how many people actually bought the pay-per-view. And this is a huge deal when you think about it, because I can't remember the last time I heard them actually going over a million buys, let alone 1.3. So maybe The Rock does have the power. Maybe they actually kind of built this one up a little bit better. Or is it because Taker and Triple H, you know, had another match? You know, everyone, I mean, realistically, I think The Rock did it. But of course, Taker's going to say it's because I went 20-0. And everyone knew it. That's why they bought it. They had to see it.
Well, I don't think that's the reason that they bought it. I do believe that it goes to show that if you have a superstar like The Rock on there, and then, you know, not only that, but you have Rock versus John Cena, which is, you know, the best of the Attitude Era versus the best of the PG era going at it. I mean, these are the two biggest people of their time, and you have a year buildup to this. And then you have some pretty solid matches underneath. And, you know, yeah, we kind of poo-poo on Undertaker Triple H, but still pretty big match. And CM Punk Chris Jericho, you know, another really big match among other ones. So you have those solid matches there. And I mean, you know, 1.3, that it's not that big of a surprise. It really isn't. I hope they take this and they run with it and they start making their pay-per-views better.
Well, that's what they should do, but we'll see what happens. Something big that DDP said in a recent interview, he actually said that Dave Grohl was very upset about the self high five actually video, which I thought was really interesting, or not the video, but the interest music. Because as everyone knows, the starting out of it is Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's the riff from that.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that, and he, of course, said self-high five. But the thing is that I guess Dave Grohl was really upset about it because that's something that Nirvana wrote. But, you know, in a way, Kurt was already dead, and Courtney Love did whatever she wanted with the entire Nirvana catalog.
So yeah,
I don't know if that was completely true, but that's what he said. He said he heard from the grapevine that Dave Grohl was not happy about it, but they never sued or anything because, of course, Courtney Love was on something, as we probably can figure out. So she probably didn't realize it. And I, you know, I can see where he's upset. And well, I could too.
You know,
I could see also where it should be like a, you know, they're not selling it. Now, if they sold it and then didn't give them some type of kickback, I could see him getting upset. But the fact that they're playing it, it's him coming out. It's not the exact same riff. And it had a guitar solo in it. I think it's a little bit different. So
it is a little different. You know, the best example, I'm going to drop some knowledge on everyone right now. But Come As You Are by Nirvana, the entire song is actually a ripoff of a song called The 80s. And I believe it's by the band Killing Joke. I could be wrong, though. But that band was going to sue Nirvana. But then, you know, of course, Kurt Cobain, he died. But the thing is, the way that it worked out was that it was slightly different enough where they may not have been able to sue him. DDP, you know, the music that he used, slightly different enough. Chris Jericho had a riff from a Pearl Jam song, if I'm correct, for his intro music. I could see Dave Grohl being upset about this. It's not that big of a deal, you know, because obviously now everything has passed. But I could definitely see at the time him being a little peeved about it.
Well, yeah, but it's also, I think it's kind of like an homage almost. And it's not like Dave would have got any money out of it. That's the thing. If they were selling it as a CD, though, I see him being upset about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So let's go on to Raw. Raw, of course, is over in England, and it opened up with Mark Henry in the ring already. No entrance for him.
And it doesn't need one.
And CM Punk comes out and, of course, gets the win over Mark Henry. Kind of a big deal. What'd you think?
Yeah, so the past couple of weeks, Mark Henry has beaten CM Punk in non-title matches. And so this one, they made a title match, you know, no DQ because the last time, so, you know, he was counted out and had disqualification. This time, not going to do that. I think that this was actually a very smart thing for the WWE to do, because this is something I've always praised TNA about, is that mini feud that they've had. And so they've had this three-week feud, Punk and Henry have, while the Punk-Jericho feud has been going on. And Henry doesn't have anything else to do. So this is actually really brilliant writing, because Henry doesn't come out looking bad and Punk comes out looking good. So kudos to WWE for doing something great.
Yeah, not good, but great. And I think if everything goes as planned, we'll continue to see stuff like this. So anyway, so Daniel Bryan gets a win over Kofi using the Yes lock.
And you know why it's called that, right?
Why?
Because when he slaps it on, when they say, do you want to tap out, they're going to say, yes, yes, yes. Yes. I got to say this much, too. The thing that was very interesting about the Daniel Bryan stuff that was going on is the fact that even Jerry the King Lawler said, are we in Bizarro Land? Canada loves this guy. The UK loves this guy, because everybody's chanting yes. And what was even better was when Kofi was mounting a comeback. Kofi, who was the face, mind you. Mm-hmm. When he's mounting a comeback, the crowd started saying, no, no, no. That has – something's going on there, okay? I'm not saying turn Daniel Bryan face, but maybe, just maybe, you should do something a little different with him and quit trying to force him down people's throats as a heel. Let him do his own thing. Let him evolve into something else where he's a tweener, part face, part heel. That's the best way to do it.
It's kind of like what happened with Randy Orton and Stone Cold. I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, Randy Orton was a heel, but everyone cheered him for the longest time. So, of course, he became a face or a tweener. But then Stone Cold, same thing happened with him. I mean, he was supposed to be a heel. And I think at one point he turned heel for like 2 weeks. And then they're like, we give up. It doesn't matter. He can be, we could try and make him a face. He's going to be a tweener. You're going to make him a heel. He's still a tweener no matter what happens, and he's still going to be a fan favorite. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter what we do with him.
Absolutely. And I really think the thing with Daniel Bryan just really says something about the fans, and it says something about Daniel Bryan as a wrestler. It doesn't matter what he does. People started chanting yes. They're bringing yes signs. People are going crazy for him, and he's telling AJ, I wish you were never born. He tells AJ that it's over. He's trying to get as much heel heat as possible. And the worst part of all is it's making her look bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying so hard And it's just not working. And that's actually something I really like, is the fact that it's not working.
And I'm just going to say right now, I can already tell you what's going to happen in Extreme Rules. What's going to happen is that Daniel Bryan is going to win the first one, lose the second one, and he'll win the third one because of AJ. Because she'll do anything to get him back, including somehow making Sheamus lose the title. Because right now, that's what it's going to me. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think the last ones, he'll make him tap. And I don't think Sheamus has ever tapped. At least not to my recollection. But, you know, you go back 3 months and he probably did. So
yeah.
Anyway, so Brock shows up in England of all places.
Well, he wasn't actually there. Just the video showed up in England.
Yes, it did. So, of course, you know, he wasn't there, but... Yeah, I mean, so I guess he doesn't have to hit this date as well. So he's, what, it two of his dates?
Two of them, yes.
Yeah, I guess that's all he's going to do.
But in the video, Brock proclaims that he is here to destroy John Cena. And that's all he does. He is here to do that. And I thought the video was interesting. It really showed a side of Brock Lesnar that maybe made him come off a little more vicious than I think that he came off the following week. Because the big thing is that the week before when he was talking, he kind of sounded like a little backwards hick. And this time he sounded a little bit more eloquent. Obviously, his speech was written for him. And so it worked a little bit better. Where do you see Brock Lesnar going, though, from here? I mean, he's going to be feuding with Cena for two pay-per-views at least.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think they're going to do with him?
That's the tough thing, because you almost have to put the title on him. I mean, do you have him face CM Punk? I mean, I think that would be a horrible match, in all seriousness. It's kind of like they're forcing that to happen. But if you look at a guy like CM Punk, who's a wrestler, and Brock Lesnar, who's a fighter, what they're probably going to do is have Lesnar win a squash match. It's basically CM Punk's going to get his butt kicked. It's not even going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a horrible match is what it's going to end up being. And you put the title on him. And then, you know, maybe Bill Goldberg makes a run. You never know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that they have to do is they have to have somebody in place to take the title from CM Punk and then have Brock Lesnar beat them. I hate to say it, but that's the best way to do it. So I don't want to say have John Cena win the title, but you have to have somebody else win it and then have Lesnar win it from them. That's what I would do.
That's why I was surprised that Mark Henry lost, because I figured he'd be the perfect one.
Nah, I don't think they would do that soon.
No, but speaking of that, what's going on with Hornswoggle, by the way?
Hornswoggle is, man, dude, he is putting people over nonstop.
I thought he was.
Like Dolph Ziggler.
Exactly. Ziggler.
Has to put over Brodus Clay, dude? Like, tell me about it. Like why?
Because Dolph makes everyone look good. So they're like, yeah, you're kind of like Kofi now. You can wrestle. Everyone likes you or hates you. But I think this is what we're going to do for a while. We're just going to have you put over Brodus. Because everyone likes the Funkasaurus. Everyone does.
Apparently. Except for my mom, which happened to be your mama, too.
Well, they called the mama, and then a bunch of mamas came out at WrestleMania, as we all remember. So that's pretty much it. Just squash match, I thought. Nothing really more than that. It's kind of boring. But everyone loved him. Everyone cheered him. Got a big pop, just like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Unlike Brock Lesnar. So A-Train comes out and beats John Cena. I don't know what the point of this was.
They wanted to make him look even more terrifying. I got to say, it was a lot better to see a wrestling match with Lord Tensai. It's A-Train, you know, and Lord Tensai is a dumb name, just like Caval. You know, we had talked about that about 100 episodes ago. Caval is such a dumb name, you know, and Lord Tensai, yeah, it's A-Train. It's always going to be A-Train, and he's going to get chanted as A-Train. So, but he beat him in he probably had, I would say, 80% of the offense, you know? So he did a little bit of a squash match, but at least we got to see him in a full on match.
You brought up Caval, and I gotta go off track here for a second. Caval. So apparently he's not well liked at all behind the scenes. Like, they say that he has a locker room issue, believe it or not.
You know, like, it actually doesn't surprise me that much.
Like, he thinks he's bigger than anyone else, and he's the best wrestler, period. They did a Colts 89 on our wrestling talk. They brought the guy from Beyond the Mat onto there, the promoter. And he started talking about how you're going to have a problem with this guy. Don't even bother bringing him in. Referring to, like, bring him to WWE because he has an attitude issue. And, of course, ironically, Caval leaves because of that. Oh, and don't forget, don't call Taz his real name. Make sure you call him Taz.
Oh, why is that?
Apparently someone, I think his name's Paul something. Apparently someone called him that backstage and he went nuts on him. Just went nuts. Do you know who my name is? And then the joke afterwards was what he should have said. Is it Taz with one Z or two? So anyways, so let's move on to SmackDown. Alberto Del Rio defeats The Big Show with Cody's help.
Yep.
I'm surprised about this.
I'm a little surprised, too. It does help Alberto Del Rio out, though. He was doing a little bit of a feud with Sheamus while Daniel Bryan and Sheamus are still feuding. So this is another thing that they're doing right. And so this is a way that he can get a really big win over Big Show while Big Show and Cody are still feuding. So Alberto Del Rio is kind of like that proxy. You know, he's got a win over Sheamus. He's got a win over Big Show. And it's just a matter of what feud they put him into next. And he'll be primed to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of good because you can almost set up, a Del Rio, Big Show feud right after this. So it's gearing there. And I think that's what's going to end up happening once Show takes care of Rhodes on Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So what's going on with Damian, by the way? Sando. Of course, he was our featured art for last week because I just thought he'd look the funniest. And what's going on with him?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I have no idea that this guy that they're trying to push, there's nothing special about him, and he looks kind of like Alberto, or he talks a lot like Alberto Del Rio. And it makes me wonder, are they really bringing in this many guys? Because, I mean, you have Ryback, you have Lord Tensai, you have Brock Lesnar, you have Brodus Clay, you have all these people come back, and you're adding this other guy. You know, Alberto Del Rio just came back, too. My question to you is, do they really need to have this many wrestlers come back?
No, this is way too many, too fast, too many, too fast. There's a lot of guys that potentially could take time off, and then you debut these guys and you focus on those guys and then have them kind of sneak back. Give a guy a month off. I mean, look at Kurt Hawkins. I mean, granted, he's had weeks off that he didn't know he was going to have off, but if they would just tell him, like, listen, dude, we don't have anything for you to do for the next 2 months. You know, if we'll call you if we need you to do a job, because, you know, that's all you're doing. That's what they should have just said to him, and everything would have been fine. Let him rest, then bring him back. You could do that with so many other wrestlers as well. Just don't even have an angle where they get hurt. Just do something where they get their butt kicked in a match and they don't show up for a few weeks. Give them those few weeks off. I mean, realistically, Cody Rhodes could have just not shown up for the next 3 weeks, and he could have been off. Healed up, you know, a couple small injuries, and then bring him back while you're debuting these other wrestlers. So then everything's put on those guys and not put on, you know, a match that happened previously.
Yeah, and I think that goes to a bigger question about having time off, which I believe we've covered before, but it's one of those things we could go on for the next 20 minutes to talk about it. But instead, Andy, let's thank our sponsor.
HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you check out the Off the Mark section on Section 86. Just go to the shows, click on Off the Mark, and you're going to see this little special banner. It's going to say, if you spend $70 or more at WWE Shop Zone, you're going to get saved $10. So make sure you use WWE Save 10 and make sure you click through our website. And make sure you buy some awesome gear, like, some head stuff for Zack Ryder, you know, or a yes, yes, yes shirt with Daniel Bryan. So let's move on to lockdown. So Eric Bischoff is gone. Was that what the rumor is?
So that was a stipulation in his match. Mm-hmm. So Eric Bischoff is now officially gone from TNA. Storyline wise, of course. So he's not really gone. He's just going to be hanging out behind the scenes instead, while apparently his son is the future of professional wrestling.
Really?
Really?
That sucks. You just look at him, you're like, he's the future?
Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, well. So, I'd say the match of the night, at least the one that I sat there and was impressed with, Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle just had a great match. Lots of stuff happened in the match, and it ended, of course, with a swanton off the top of the cage. And I thought it looked good. I mean, the fact that Hardy nailed it, and
he hit that almost perfectly, I gotta say.
Yeah, because for a while there, you're just hoping, okay, I hope he makes full rotation. Please don't die. Please don't die. This one, he didn't have to say it. He just did it. I was impressed. You know, my hat's off to him.
And, you know, the big thing, too, is that it had really great ring psychology, because Hardy hit, I want to say, like two or three swantons. He hit like two in a row, and Angle still kicked out. Yep. And it was like, what do I have to do to win? What do I have to do? And so it really made you go, wow, this is like really great. Like, they're really making this a big deal. And I got to say, that was one of the things. There were some matches at lockdown that I was just like, I have no idea what the crap is going on here. You know, D-Von had been on off TV for the past month, and apparently now he has a rematch. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea what was going on. None. I don't think anyone else did either. But this is definitely one of the you know, shining stars. This one, and also Robert Roode and James Storm's match.
Great that match. Was
definitely one of the shining stars. I got to ask you, what do you think about the ending?
I saw it coming. Because I can't remember the exact thing off the top of my head, but he hit him and, of course, knocks Roode out. And because of that, that's how he retains in a crappy way. So it's one of those things where you're just like, seriously? That's how it ends? I mean, I see it, but come on.
I actually wasn't as mad as I think a lot of people were. It makes you mad, but it's for me in the good way, because James Storm comes out looking like a champ, even though he didn't win the title.
Right.
But he comes out looking good because he won that match pretty much. He super kicked Roode out of the cage, and he didn't mean to.
Right.
And I think that made him look good, and it made you hate Roode just that much more.
Just a little bit more.
Just that much more. And I think that was the big thing. And Roode right now is my favorite – well, second favorite heel if you count Daniel Bryan as a heel. Mm-hmm. He is my second favorite heel in professional wrestling right now.
Ooh.
For me right now, I'm not saying of all time or anything like that. For right now, he is my favorite heel who is trying to be a heel. Okay.
Okay, if you think so. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So AJ, of course, that's AJ Styles, puts over Kurt Angle. So what's this mean? AJ Styles is going to be jobbing like no other. They're going to have to bring back the job squad, and he's going to be a part of it.
Yeah, he's been putting people over. We had commented last week that, you know, he had been putting a lot of people over. And continuing this week, he's putting Angle over. Not that Angle needs to be put over, not that, you know, Styles needs to be put over. But it is a little interesting that we are seeing AJ go on this losing streak. And I'll be interested to see what happens then the following week. And not only that, I will be interested to see what happens when he makes his way out to Seattle, Washington, and I watch him wrestle in a house show. I'm going to see if he's going to win there. Who knows?
Probably not. Now, this time, when you get in the ring, hopefully, are you going to open the ring for your woman? Or are you going to, you know, just say, you can get in yourself?
Well, yeah, I'm going to open the bottom rope for her, of course.
Oh, you're not going to sit down on the middle rope and let her in?
No. I'm also going to jump over the top rope.
No, you're not.
So
you're going to try it and fall. That's what's going to happen.
Andy, the biggest news on Impact this week. Hogan made a pretty large announcement. He said, let's start off with one of the things that I'm very interested in first, which is he said the TV title will now be defended every show. So let's start with that point, Andy. What do you think of that?
Well, it's about time. I think we've stated before, you should have a TV title, and no matter what it is, it should be defended. Hence, back in the day with the WWE, you had Heat, Raw, SmackDown, Velocity, and a pay-per-view. It should be defended no matter what. If they're on TV, it gets defended. In the WWE, in this case, it should be Raw. It should be NXT. Well, no, I guess not NXT, but at least Superstars and SmackDown. And, of course, the pay-per-view. Should be defended no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact they're going to do this. I give it 4 months.
Yeah.
When they forget. They forget 1 week.
I agree. Well, they'll probably end up just forgetting all in general. I mean, like I said, D-Von had been off TV, you know? Right. So what's that say?
So he just shows up and is like, hey, by the way, guys, I had the TV title.
Yeah. I'm very happy with this. I think that this is a big deal because if you're not going to have, first of all, almost no titles are defended on TV. So it's nice to see just the one title being defended on TV. I will be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Next big announcement was that he said that there will be what I like to call indie wrestling once a month. So he said that they are going to have superstars come in from other organizations or indie superstars come in to wrestle. And then they're going to have – basically, they're going to vote whether or not they could get a contract with TNA. So we could see, for example, somebody like Low-Key come in, wrestle somebody else, and then, you know, if he wins, then they will say, okay, we think that you are going to get a contract. What do you think about this idea?
It's – you know, I think they've done this before. Didn't they do that like about 6 months ago where like they had a battle royale and whoever won it made it in? That's how Austin Aries – you know,
yeah.
Came in. So they've done this before. We'll just see how long this lasts. Because I think they did that for about 2 months and then they stopped.
So it'll be interesting to see how long this continues on for. Obviously, this will also have to do with the TV title, whether or not they do that. Mm-hmm. Now, the third big announcement that Hogan made was that once a month, and this is going to happen when the indie wrestling goes on,
mm-hmm.
is that they're going to have an open challenge on every single title. So you are going to have a knockout challenger. You're going to have tag team. You're going to have TV title. You are also going to have the world title. What do you think of that? And X Division. Too.
I mean, but when do they have to defend it?
They defend it immediately. So, for example, like let's say Ken Anderson comes out and says, I want to shout out the world title. You have to defend it that night against, you know, Ken Anderson.
Yeah, that's a dumb idea.
Okay.
I don't like it. Okay. That just doesn't – I mean, that has nothing. I mean, I could see where it's an open challenge on certain titles. But it's almost – you say you give them a few weeks or whatever to build up a little bit of feud. But this way, if someone comes out, I want the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, you're going to have guys like Eric Young come out and say, I want it. Well, you're a women's champion right now, Eric. I think you should probably stay down there.
Yeah. I hear you. I would say something that I would rather see change with this – is maybe for the X Division, maybe for the TV title, you know, because the TV title will already be defended anyway. Maybe do it for like that, but for like the world title, maybe even for the tag titles,
mm-hmm.
you say you have an open challenge, and then the next week they will go ahead and face you. Yeah. Or like let's say you have multiple open challenges, then they wrestle to see who will be the number one contender, and then they face you. Mm-hmm. Just like what happened – at the end of Impact, where you had RVD take on Anderson and Hardy
mm-hmm.
to become the new number one contender. And Andy, who is the new number one contender?
RVD?
Yes. Nice. Ding, ding, ding. What do you think of this dynamic? Because it's going to be RVD versus Rude. What do you think of that?
Well, I think RVD will win. I mean, that's how I think they should do it. You bring RVD back in, or if you want more heel heat, you have Rude somehow cheat to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe throw a steel chair in the ring and then lay down and be like, oh, he knocked me out with it.
Do you think that a win over RVD would legitimize Rude?
Yeah. I think then maybe I can look at him seriously. But for now, I can't. I just can't.
Interesting. I would say that I think it'll help legitimize him a little bit more. And I think it would be the smart thing to do. I still feel that if you have Ken Anderson take him on in a pay-per-view or two and have him win the title, I think that'd be a smart thing to do, personally. But mm-hmm. that's just those are my feelings on that. I'm actually kind of excited for this. I think that there are a few things TNA is doing well, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them right now. So let's move on to our weekly topic. So the WWE has been giving certain wrestlers or entertainers, depending on who you talk to, independent contractors, some sweet deals. Of course, the number one being The Rock, and number two now being Brock Lesnar. I guess my thing right now is it fair to the other guys that they just come in and they're marquee players all of a sudden? Because I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to bring that many people in. I'm going to say that right now. He will not improve any pay-per-view except Extreme Rules. After that, not unless someone else comes back like Goldberg or Austin, I can care less.
And I think that the big thing here is that it's the shock factor. You know, having Brock Lesnar return is a big deal, and having him face Cena at the next pay-per-view, another big deal. But I think if you have them face each other again at Over the Limit, I don't think Over the Limit's going to draw as much as Extreme Rules would.
Right.
But the big thing here, the biggest thing here, is that they are getting such sweet deals, and John Cena has been around longer than The Rock has been around for. Mm-hmm. He's been around a lot longer than Brock has been around for. In fact, he's probably been around longer than both of them combined. I would venture to say, or at least close to it.
Close
to it. Why is Cena forced to wrestle as so many? He has to wrestle 250 dates a year. Why does he have to do that? Yet you have somebody like Brock Lesnar come in, wrestles, or I'm sorry, appears 35 dates a year, and The Rock come in and wrestle twice a year and only appear 10 times. What gives in this instance? I mean, you know, you have somebody like John Cena as your franchise, and you are riding him into the ground.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's almost like John Cena, who is the face of the WWE, should just be like, you know what, guys? I'm done. I don't want to wrestle anymore. You know, these guys are getting paid tons of money for X amount of dates. Realistically, I should get paid double that. And I, you know, like, let's say Lesnar makes like, we'll say like 10 or $1,000 or $100,000 per appearance. Well, I guess that's too much. Let's say he makes 50 grand per appearance, but he's guaranteed 35 dates. Cena should get the same, if not more, because he's there all the time. You see him in house shows. He's a trooper. But when it's all said and done, if he was to leave, the WWE would be hurting like no other. Because what are you going to do? Just bring a guy in to have him show up on a Raw every other week? Or have him do something on this Raw, and then the next two Raws are taped vignettes that they taped previously? It's unfair. It's unfair to all the wrestlers.
Well, and I think something else, too. I didn't even think about this immediately, but why not? Undertaker.
Yeah.
Undertaker. He's got the sweetest deal of all. Once a year.
And they sell all of his merchandise still, and people, like sheep, just buy it for some reason. I don't know why. Because he's never there.
Yeah. But once a year. Once a year. Why do they give these sweet deals to these people, yet they have these workhorses that they just drive them into the ground? Yeah. And, you know, John Cena is the best example, but you also have other guys like Randy Orton. You have people who are the driving force, you know, underneath, like Cody Rhodes or Dolph Ziggler, who are the workhorses of the WWE, yet you don't give them free passes. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why. I'm actually really confused as to why they give these people sweet deals, yet they just drive the other talent into the ground.
That's the thing. Eventually, they're going to have a Raw filled with jobbers and like five people that come back and get paid a ton of money. And then people are going to stop coming to live shows. I mean, if someone wants to come and see Brock Lesnar and he's not advertised for a Raw or he's not advertised for the show that you're going to, and that's who you want to see, you're going to be really disappointed. And I think this actually may hurt the WWE in the long run. And I think that him coming back when he's done after the year, I think that's it. I think he'll be done unless they say, listen, you have to work these dates. And if he says, no, I'm not going to, okay, good luck to you. Because he's not going to be able to do anything else. He can't do MMA anymore. So they kind of got him. And when it shows that the pay-per-view buys at first were the shock value, like, oh my gosh, he's the first time he's been back since, you know, 2004 or whatever it is. the shock value's done. That's yeah. it. So
exactly. And I think that's the big thing. I feel that Brock Lesnar, what'll end up happening is that at the end of the year, they'll probably negotiate a new deal for him. And I bet he's going to have to work double. It'll probably be like 70 dates. And it'll be really easy to do. You know, this past week on Raw, they ran a promo. That doesn't count as a date. You can do that. And you can have him work a few house shows. And he's going to be working three times less than John Cena. But he's going to still get that exposure, which is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And he could maybe help out SmackDown. You could put him over on SmackDown. Maybe he could help legitimize the brand again. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.